Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Thank you for the opportunity to stand here on your stage. It's an honor to be before you. Well, listen, y'all, we're going to go right to work. Is that okay? Who's ready for a word in this house tonight? Amen, amen. So we're going to start with a familiar story in the Bible today. And we're going to talk about the wedding at Cana. Yeah, and the wedding at Cana took place in this town in Galilee, and everybody was at this wedding. Yeah, it was a very popular event and a popular function, and in the Jewish tradition, weddings were a big deal. So everybody was at this event, and some of the people that were amongst the guest list, you had Mother Mary, you had Jesus, and you had his disciples. And so everybody's kicking it. Everybody's having a good time. I mean, they were turned up, okay? They were drinking wine. They were doing line dances. They were drinking wine while line dancing. You know how that goes. I mean, can you picture them now? I tried to picture them doing line dances back in the day with their wine and their togas and how they possibly did to Mia. And can you hear them right now? Like, oh, that's my song. They run into the dance floor with the wine and And can I say this real quick? Can I pause and parenthetically insert? Don't use the event to practice to Mia, okay? Don't be the person on the dance floor talking about, oh, I'm going to learn this today. How you do this? Nah, don't get in the way. No. Go practice at home. Go practice in the mirror. Yeah. On my line. Where my line dances at? Yeah. Practice Tamia at home and then come to the event. But that's beside the point. And so they're having a good time today. They're having a good time, and they're drinking the wine, and they're carrying on. And then Mother Mary sees a problem. So they're doing all of these things, and she sees a problem. And in verse 3, we're going to go to John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. My. They have no more wine. Now, from a cultural perspective in the Jewish tradition, this was not a good thing. Yeah, to run out of wine or to run out of food for your guests was almost a cultural no-no. Like, they would be disgraced, right? They would be looked at as cheap or tacky. They didn't have enough stuff for their guests. Not only that, but this is something that would follow this couple for the rest of their life. I know that's crazy, right? Running out of wine. But this is something that will follow them for the rest of their life. It didn't matter how many galas they threw. It didn't matter how many sheep they acquired, how much land they had. They would always be remembered as the couple who ran out of wine. You ever have a situation in your life where you ran out of something like one time and nobody lets you live it down? Like, I ran out of gas one time, y'all. Like, literally one time, and my husband would not let me forget it. He be like, hey, you know you're almost on E. Like, hey, don't run out of gas again. I'm like, bro, fill up my tank. But anyway, right? Like, fill up my tank. Don't let me run out of gas. But not only that, maybe you lost your cool in front of somebody. Maybe you said a few choice words, and now you cussing crazy Keisha all because you had ran out of patience one time. Yeah, one time. And that's what happened, right? So that's what would happen to this couple if they were to run out of wine. It will follow them for the rest of their life. So Mary is participating in the wedding, and she finds that there is a problem. What we need to understand is that wine at a Jewish wedding was symbolic. It wasn't just something that you come and have a good time and get you a little loose. No, wine was symbolic. And in the Jewish tradition, wine was a symbol of joy. So when they ran out of wine, it's safe to say that Mary saw that there was an issue. Say joy. Say joy. Yeah, we're going to read the scripture one more time. And anywhere we see the word wine, we're going to replace it with joy, okay? So verse 3 says, the joy ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more joy. They have no more joy. Now, what's crazy is that no one has noticed that the supply has run low. Yeah, they're partying, they're kicking it, they're carrying on. They're still running on this reserve wine, and they have no idea that the very thing that they need to sustain them has already run low. I don't know about you, but I've been in some situations where the very thing I needed was running out, and it wasn't until that thing passed that I realized I might have ran out of some joy. Maybe some of you guys were in a marriage or something like that, and it was too far until you realized, wait, there's no joy in this house. Maybe you had a job, and it was bringing you some good money, but you kept waking up every day with this dread because the joy had run out. Maybe somebody walked away from you. I'm not really sure what was going on, but you just had this feeling that it didn't feel the same, that the joy had run out. And sometimes we're so deep in our situation, we're so deep in our mess, we're so worried about carrying on the facade that the very thing that we need to keep us going has already run out. Can I say one thing to you today? Don't let your joy run out. Yeah, don't get so caught up in life and caught up in the things of this world that you let your joy run out. And I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness is predicated on something happening, but I'm talking about joy. You know, the joy that grandma talked about, this joy I have, like the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. The joy that is everlasting, the joy is knowing a perfect God in an imperfect world. Joy in knowing that everything ain't all right, but it's going to be all right. Yeah, don't run out of your joy. Joy is what's going to keep you in the midnight hour. Joy is what's going to keep you when things aren't shaking out the way you think they need to shake out. Don't run out of your joy. Say joy. Yeah, then all of a sudden, so Mary goes to Jesus and she tells him the problem. And this was his response, verse 4. He says, "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Now, what's interesting here is that we see Jesus saying, "It's not my time." But she goes on anyway to tell the servants, "Do whatever." In another version, it says, "She went ahead anyway." Literally, it says, "She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, do whatever he tells you to do." Talk about somebody who knows their baby. That even in the response that he gave, she knew him. Yeah, she knew him. When I read this, I thought about my mother-in-law. And if you're watching Mama Lab, I love you so much. I thought about her. She's somebody who knows her babies. Yeah, and I can see my husband right now. I can see them in the situation. You know, the party is going on. Everything is happening. And my mother-in-law notices there's no more wine. And she goes over to my husband. Dante. Now, mind you, my husband's name is Deontay, but I don't know why she calls him Dante, but she's like, Dante, you know they ain't got no more wine, right? You know they out. And I can see my husband, if y'all know my husband, woman, well, okay, Mary couldn't have been black, because then savior or not, there's no way you're going to look at a black mama and say, "Woman, that's not my problem." But anyway, this is what Jesus said. I don't know. We got to look into that a little further. But this is what Jesus said. He said, "Woman, that is not our concern." So I can see my husband. Yeah, woman, that's not my problem. And after he says that, my mother-in-law, she would go over to the servants. Hey, I know you think what you heard. I know you think you saw what you saw. But do whatever he tells you to do. She would go behind my husband's back and say, "Listen, I know he's talking a little crazy right now. But do whatever he tells you to do." And I can see Mama Mary in the text here. "I know you think you heard what you heard, but trust me, it's about to go down." Like, I know that he said it wasn't about to happen, but it's about to go down. Some of us need to get like Mary, and even when Jesus doesn't give us the response that we're looking for, we need to have it's about to go down in our spirit. "Yeah, I know you didn't come when I thought you should come, but no worries, it's about to go down. I know my finances are not looking the way I think they should be looking, but no worries, it's about to go down. I know my kids are tripping and my husband lost his mind, but no worries, it's about to go down." Because see, what Mary did, Mary knew him. She knew his demeanor. She knew his character. She even knew in the response that Jesus gave that something was about to shift. Because when we see this word "woman" in the text, This word woman says that these people are not related. There's no relation there. So when Jesus looks at her and says, woman, he's not talking to her as if she's his mother. She's talking to her as if somebody he doesn't know or he's not related to. And Mary was able to pick up on that shift. Because see, if he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she would have stepped in like a mom and said, oh, you got this, baby. Go ahead and do it. If he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she probably would have put on her mama hat and made a way out of no way. But because he said, woman, my time has come, she picked up on the shift, because not only did she know her son, but she knew her Savior. Yes, some of us need to get like Mary and know our Savior. That when he says pause or when he says wait, it's not a no. His time has not yet come. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so as we continue to move, we're going to look at the next few verses, verses 6 through 8. It says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Now, there's a few verses there. So what we're going to do is we're going to go one by one and we're going to unpack. So let's go back to verse 6 where it says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. So another teaching about Jewish tradition, right? Before they took part in any eating, before they took part in any special ceremonies, there was something called a ceremonial washing, that they washed themselves and they cleansed themselves before they took part in that. And that's what these stone jars were used for. Yeah, they were not used for pouring and dipping wine. They especially were not used for creating wine, but they were used for a specific purpose. But when I looked at this, I said, these stone jars are just standing there. That's not what they're used for. That's not what their purpose was. But somehow God took that and he repurposed it. He took what somebody used for one thing and he repurposed it for something else. I'm not sure about you, but I'm real glad that I serve a God who repurposes people and situations. Yeah, he repurposes time and moments. The cancer that you dealt with that was supposed to kill you, he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to surrender. Yeah, when the job shut down in 2020, what was supposed to happen, you don't know this, but you were supposed to die in depression. You were supposed to die in doubt. You were supposed to leave God. But what happened was he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to a place of faith that you never knew before. He's a God who repurposes some things. He's a God who gives new purpose and fresh purpose. Yeah, he repurposed some things. Say, he repurposed some things. He repurposed some things in my life. He repurposed some relationships. He repurposed some situations. He repurposed some mindsets. He repurposed some things. And because of this, I said, well, why didn't God just create something? You do know that he's the creator, right? He's God the creator. So he could have created something. He could have very well brought down a vineyard from heaven and said, hey, here's fresh wine off the vine. But he chose to use these jars. He's a creator. He created a way for Moses in the water. Yeah, he created a companion for Adam out of the rib. He's a creator. But instead, God decided to use what he had. And some of us are in a position where God is using what he has. Yeah, he's not using your sister. He's not using your coworker. He's not using anybody else. He's using you. And what I need you to do is get in position. Get in position to be used by God. Because what I need you to understand is this. He doesn't need to create a way because you are the way. Yeah, how many people in here know that I'm enough for God to use? The Bible says that if we will cleanse ourselves, if a man will cleanse himself or wash himself, that he will be used as a vessel, purposeful unto God. So sometimes all we need to be is a willing and empty vessel for God to use. We don't have to be